swimming like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever. The results match the effort.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, brought to you each and every week here on Atlanta Business Radio X. I'm your host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks. We bring to you every week on the Shrimp Tank some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs in and around the state of Georgia. We've been delighted this year so far. From seeing entrepreneurs anywhere from owning fencing companies to real estate. And even today, we're going to talk about the soup cleanse. So you need to stay tuned to hear some fantastic stuff. We also are bringing on some of our brightest and best entrepreneurs that are coming out of high schools and Kennesaw State University who are pitching their ideas to us here on the Shrimp Tank, where we can hear about taking these ideas into real business solutions for the future. Sometimes we'll find out if their ideas swim or they sink on the tank. Chris, what's going on today?
You know, I am pumped up.
Are you? Just because Rhodey opened up today? Is that what it's all about?
You know, we start off with a rap, right? Mm-hmm. That's always awesome, especially when my name's in the rap. But no, I actually had an amazing sort of morning with seminar and classes. And also yesterday, I spent time with the Family Self-Sufficiency Program with the Marietta Housing Authority, where we had the most amazing women who are trying to get sort of off of welfare where they're at and using entrepreneurship to get to where they want to be. Got to work with those women yesterday. It was amazing.
Well, that's fantastic. And I know on last Wednesday night, we went through sort of a shrimp tank on Kennesaw State University. It was unbelievable seeing these 25 pitches from the kids there. I thought they did a fabulous job.
Yeah, actually. And I'm glad that we have one of them here. But that was kind of fun to see. Like, we had the shrimp tank aspect and we introduced the voice aspect to this, where some of the mentors we had in the room actually had to pitch the students on who they're going to work with and why.
Yeah. Well, I lost.
You did lose.
I was.
You know, honestly, I could not believe that you did not get chosen. I was shocked.
How did I lose to a cleaning guy? I have no idea.
Yeah.
I said all the right things. I had on the skater outfit. I was picking the skater guy. And I ended up with Lyle Lovett here doing Dormity. So we met today.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. Ted was one of the people who actually pitched against another mentor. And the student actually chose someone else.
So I wanted to ask you a question because we heard all these pitches last week and I was reading a story about these two kids that brought sort of this soccer bubble ball, this whole game that's like catching like wildfire here in the United States, you know, where you play soccer and I guess you encase yourself in this giant bubble and pretty much you go around and whack each other on a field and everyone falls down. I don't know if you score any goals. pretty sure that this is some relative sense of like beer pong and foosball all combined into one. And I'm pretty sure it's better to play it drunk than probably not. That being said, what do you say to a student when they come in with some harebrained crazy idea? Do you tell them in class that it's going to work or it's not going to work?
No, I never want to be the guy. You know, there's that story of Fred Smith in Federal Express where he pitched that idea and the professor said that it will never work. And, you know,
he
showed them.
He got an F, right?
Yeah, he actually failed the plan and they said that, you know, that could never work. So I don't want to be that guy. So absolutely not. I will never criticize your idea, but I will criticize the business that brings forth the idea. So you're going to show me a clear path to customers and how your operations plan work, your management team. And I'll criticize that. Never criticize the idea.
Now, I always read Cuban's blog, and I like to bring it up here on the Shrimp Tank when we talk about these types of entrepreneurial things every week. And Cuban had a blog that he put out. He talked about six things that you must know when you become an entrepreneur. And one he said is, you must always put yourself in the shoes of your customer. When you're at Kennesaw State and we're teaching these kids how to basically run businesses and we're going across high schools here in the state of Georgia to really teach young entrepreneurs how to make this happen, is that really a baseline principle of a business? Do you need to always put yourself in the shoes of your customer?
Absolutely. No customer, no salary, right? you know, who pays the bills? And all of the money you ever will make as an entrepreneur comes from somebody else's pocket. And the only way they'll part with that money is if you create enough value for them that they're willing to part for, or they see more value in the product or service you're providing than the amount of money in their wallet. So absolutely. Now, in a college setting, though, I don't take that same attitude because I don't view the students as customers. And I'm saying that as one of my students looking across from me right now, but I view them as products. So there's some things we'll do. Yeah, they're more of a product than a customer. So there's certain things I know they're not going to like, but that's okay. I got to forge a product and infuse an entrepreneurial mindset to make them better versions of themselves.
Now, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here. You can always hear a replay of all of our broadcasts on shrimptankpodcast.com. This show continues to grow like wildfire. More and more people joining us every week to hear from some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs in the state of Georgia. We go live from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., but like I said, you should always catch a replay on shrimptankpodcast.com, or when we do our post-show recap, our entrepreneurs give us three unbelievable ideas. You can go on our YouTube channel, check out The Shrimp Tank, see some of these interviews. They're just fantastic. We've got a dozen up there already and growing. And I wanted to basically bring in our guest this week because I think this is a cool business. We've got Tammy Stokes, who's the founder, and also David Pemberton, who's a managing partner of Cafe West Express. And I've heard about a lot of cleanses out there, all kinds of cleanses. I can remember distinctly, Hanks, that somewhere around 15 years ago, and this is, I'm really curious to hear about this, I did some diet called the O's diet for a week. I think that's what it was called. But pretty much all you drank was cabbage soup for a whole week. Pretty much all you do is spend a week in the bathroom. That's pretty much what you do. But what has gotten popular over the years are these detox cleanses, juice cleanses, things like that, that we see all over the internet. So very excited to hear about this business model today and what you're doing at Cafe West Express. So I'm just curious, how did this idea germinate? Where did the seeds germinate to come up with this idea for the business itself and a soup cleanse?
Okay, well, I'll answer that as the founder and creator of Cafe West Express. Basically, it just derived organically. It happened, you know, I'm in front of people as a wellness expert. I do a lot of speaking engagements and leading retreats. I own fitness and wellness studios. So I'm always with an audience and I'm always talking and teaching and coaching. And I had to find a way as an entrepreneur owning my own business, I had to find a way that I could nourish my own body and make sure that I authentically stand in front of people, not only teach health, but am health. I am authentically living the lifestyle that I preach. One of the things that I found to be very convenient was if I could just drink or sip something, that would be a great way that I could actually nourish my body at the same time that I could not, you know, have to take a lunch break or a breakfast break. When you're building a business, as all of you know, being entrepreneurs, you really need to commit yourself like full force. So they're really, to me, if I took a lunch or a breakfast, it meant time was money. And it was something I had to give up. But to build the business, I just would create these concoctions, which were broths and pureed vegetables. And I'd put all these different things and roots and herbs and vegetables into the stock. And then I'd sip on it as I was talking to people and coaching people. And it was a way I could nourish myself. Then I started to give it as gifts. And once I started giving it as gifts, there was a lot of requests. I'll pay you to make the soup. You know, I'll pay you for the produce. I'll pay you for this. I'll pay you for your time. And that's how organically it started. I couldn't actually cook for them too. So we found a kitchen. We found some chefs. We taught them how to do it. We expanded rapidly into what it is now, nationwide delivery. And we have two little stores.
Well, you certainly have to be fit if you're going to teach people how to do a cleanse and be fit. I mean, I remember growing up as a child watching Richard Simmons thinking, how is this guy possibly on TV telling people that he's fit? And he clearly has like a rotund belly while he's doing whatever dancer size that he's doing.
But it was the short shorts.
The short shorts, yes.
That's what it was.
Is this the next Halloween costume that you'll be in? Now, guys, what's in, just I'm curious about this before we get into the business, is that what's exactly in the soup cleanse? What does that mean? You know, I think I tried one time a juice cleanse and it went through everything from carrot stuff to coconut. And, you know, so is there a special rhyme or reason about how you put this together?
Definitely. So we start with breakfast, which is a life porridge. And just think about this. Like if I was going to teach you to be, you wanted to elevate your level of health and I was going to teach you to be healthier or live healthier on a nutritional side of things, what I would teach you was you want high fiber, nutrient dense, mostly plant-based diet, right? So there's nothing like controversial about it whatsoever. If you talk about a juice cleanse, there's something whole food is missing, right? Protein would be missing. This, a day on this cleanse is really like massively loaded. It's got 1,000 calories a day just on one, 57 grams of fiber in one day, and then 48 grams of bioavailable protein. The fiber.
57 grams of protein?
57 whopping grams.
Hank, that means like that's
wait
like
a minute.
That Saturday Night Live skit, colon blow. Remember that?
I do remember that.
That's like
that.
double.
All right, let's keep it clean, guys. Yeah, keep it clean. No, but fiber, I mean, it acts as, you know, that's the entire cleansing process without getting anything and without getting into any details on that. But that is what cleanses you. Without it, you know, if you read about FAQs on juice cleanses, they'll tell you to go get colonics. I'm not sure if you know what those are, but I think it's a little radical.
I've heard of it before.
It's a little radical. So anyway, you asked the question. The question is, you start with Life Forage, fiber-rich, wholesome, whole grain, gluten-free breakfast. And then you move on to an Ayurvedic cleansing soup called Longevity Lentil. And from there, right about just after noon, you're going to have Green Miracle, which is loaded with chlorophyll and all your like really amplified greens, roots and herbs in the stock. And your hungriest part of the day, you're going to have black bean protein. And then just before, you know, that dinner hour, you're going to have Secret Slimming, which is the lightest soup.
So now you came here with your partner, David. And so how do you guys divide up your roles? And what would you recommend for other partners in there? Sort of like who does what and how do you sort of separate the leadership and the management?
Let me just say this one thing, sure. David. He is, I'll tell you, the perfect partner. He is the perfect partner. For every weakness I have, he is strong. For every weakness he has, I am strong. So
I want to go on a record. I don't have any weaknesses.
Yeah. You know, you want to find someone. You don't want to hire someone with your same strengths. You need to find someone, you know, who will fulfill your weaknesses, who can help you so that you're strong together, you're stronger together.
Sure. But does that provide tension among you sometimes?
No, not at all. So my background is operational and finance and with a sprinkling of marketing. So typically, anything that has to deal with food is highly regulated. So having someone who's really strong in the terms of how do you prepare the food? What are the rules? What are the handling rules? What are the disclosure rules? And what is the operational supply life chain of the food through the selling process is something you don't want to leave to someone who's a rookie, because you can actually hurt somebody if this food is handled improperly. Having the background in, call it food handling, and having a background in food manufacturing is certainly helpful. Also, knowing how to comprise the numbers and all the finance and things of that nature puts me in front of the computer more than you'd want your lead salesperson. So I tell folks that Tammy is perfect in terms of she is not only speaks passionately about what the product is, but she's also the best billboard we could possibly have in terms of what the product can do for you. I know we're on radio, but Tammy's amazing in terms of she's a little bit north of 50. She's a grandmother and she looks like she's 26.
Hey, you're listening to The Shrimp Tank here on Atlanta Business Radio X. I'm your host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the KSU Center for Entrepreneurship. It's doing unbelievably well. We had 25 kids that pitched last week. And I think on April 13th, we're getting down to the final 10 for a 3 to 5 minute pitch. I've got my man, Franklin. I lined them all up today and gave them some great
choice
ideas.
Choice number two for you, since you were rejected by choice number one.
This is true.
This is very true.
You know, you work with what you have to work with. It is what it is. So I told them, first of all, don't show up if you don't get a haircut. I'm not gonna be your sponsor. I will not sponsor a Lyle Lovett wannabe. So
that's true. And you're sitting next to one of Lyle's competitors. So yeah, you gotta be a little careful about any inside secret.
I told him his picture looked much better inside of the dormity pitch than it did outside of that. You can always catch a replay of all of our shows on shrimptankpodcast.com. Again, we've got some of the brightest and best entrepreneurs. We're sitting here with Tammy Stokes, who's the founder of Cafe West Express, and managing partner Dave Pemberton. And Dave, I know that you do a lot of stuff financially in building out these business models. And I'm curious, you know, where a lot of people must when they come up with a product. I've seen people that have opened up bread shops and people that have come up with coffee houses and bourbon bars and things like that. So How does the business model work on something like this? You know, I understand if you sell, you know, one soup, you can make a certain amount of money, but how does the model work to really build out and scale the business?
Sure. So there's a pretty simple rule of thumb in consumer packaging is that if your costs aren't three times less than what you can sell it for, so you need a 3X model. So if your costs are a dollar, you need to be able to sell it for $3 in order to make it commercially viable in the long term.
Wow.
So now typically what happens in a startup, because you don't have scale and you don't have the financial wherewithal to do the procurement that you need to do, you're going to probably start a little bit less than that. But you need to have a clear path in terms of how to get to three times. If you can't get to three times in any visible business model, then you need to either redefine your product or redefine your consumer. And
because this
pricing
is not something you're going to sell wholesale, it'll be a direct retail concept?
No, if you have money, we would like to take it from you. So,
I guess what I'm saying is, do you see this being more of a product that somebody would buy in an upscale store like a Whole Foods, or is it more where Tammy's doing an infomercial?
No,
you do infomercials or no?
So definitely on the radar screen. But in terms of who our consumer is someone who is willing to spend $9 on a soup. So
$9 per soup?
Per soup. So it's two servings. So it's about $4.50 a serving. So if you go into a restaurant, you buy a cup of soup,
yeah,
you're going to spend more than $4.50. If you're in buy low, chances are that our product won't do the necessary turns on the shelf to keep it listed. So we are, you know, certainly focused in the right channels for us. Direct to consumer is our primary target. And, you know, online is where we like to focus because we can reach very specific targets.
So what's been the thing that has been your biggest aha moment while you're doing this journey and the thing that you kind of wished you knew at the beginning of it?
Really, what I wish I knew at the beginning is the dynamic of the packaging. Packaging in a temperature-sensitive product, shipping in the, I won't name names, but in the express shipping package destroyer mechanism is really difficult.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, we ship a product that is needs to be maintained below 42 degrees. It has to travel for approximately 2 days. It literally has to be contained in packaging, both, you know, primary and secondary packaging that can survive a conveyor belt and a fall from, call it 10 feet at 30 miles an hour. Because if you spend this much money on soups, and our average order is, you know, substantial, it's usually north of $100.
Well, Hanks, that might have just eclipsed our pay grade there. You know, I felt like one of those math questions that I failed. You know, if there's a train leaving Chicago at 70 miles an hour, well, look. We want to hear more about this. I think this is going to really catch and hit big time here in the United States. I think it's a wonderful thing. In fact, I've seen many of the juice cleanses. When you think about that $9 number, be a lot more than that per juice. It could be $12, $13, $14 per bottle.
That's right.
When you take one of those juice cleanses. So when we come back, we're going to ask Tammy and David our hot or not segment right after we hear from our commercial sponsors.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? Oh, dear. How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the jolly good experts that work on your network to simply make your computer run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 right away.
Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. You know, we are thinking about taking this show internationally, so we're halfway there right now.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who is the executive director and founder of the KSU Center for Entrepreneurship. Great things going on there. Great things going on in the state of Georgia with entrepreneurship. Wouldn't it be neat one day if kids were in high school and all they did not think about was going to college? And what I mean by that is everyone's prepped today to pass SAT scores and you got to get great grades and everything will be fine. But there is a world out there for entrepreneurs, those kids that they might be B or C students, but they end up being the bosses, as Chris will say, of a bunch of those kids that are A students, right?
Definitely. Absolutely. Where you're not necessarily taught to memorize things for the purposes of a test, but you're taught to sort of question things and ask good questions like, hey, what is possible? What has no one ever done before? What could we do?
Well, every week we bring you our second segment here, which is called Hot or Not. We like to ask our business owners a series of questions just around things that may be good or bad ideas or things that they may be doing right now. So my first question for both of you, is it hot or not to have a business plan?
Hot.
Hot?
Boiling hot.
And why do you say that? We've gotten mixed reviews on it. When you say a business plan, what does that really mean to you?
Well, you shouldn't look at your business plan as a tablet written in stone. You should look at it as a benchmark for which you need to buoy yourself against. And so your business plan should prevent you from going down rabbit trails, but it shouldn't constrict you from pursuing viable opportunities.
It's interesting because do you think some business owners get distracted by having too big of a business plan, or they write it and then they never use it at all?
I think they get distracted by following the last person who whispered in their ear the next greatest idea and letting that person influence the direction of their business, and you know, that person who knows how much they know about it or know what they're talking about. By having a business plan, you stay anchored and you should be able to maintain focus on what your clear objectives are. You should know exactly what you're trying to get done and the time frame and the costs.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing about it is understanding your purpose. What is your purpose? What purpose will this serve? Without, you know, a plan, I feel like you can't build a brand.
Hot or not, paying out bonuses to employees?
Not.
No. Currently, we don't have a lot of employees and we're not paying a lot. So would love to pay $1 million bonuses, but not in the foreseeable future.
Hot or not, take on equity partners?
Hot.
Super hot.
And why do you say that? Because I know that, again, with all the VC firms today and private equity firms, there are some firms that worry that if you take on equity partners, that they may just walk right in and take over your business, tell you what to do, change that vision, that culture. Why do you say that it's hot?
It's hot because assuming you're intelligent business owners, you would never relinquish control. And the equity partner there is to provide you with insight, connections, and fuel, oxygen.
But for a new business owner out there, do you have any recommendations? I mean, you guys may have been through this before about taking on equity partners without relinquishing control. I know you could say it's a 51-49, but you know, what's the best way for a new entrepreneur to go about that?
Choose wisely. Goes back to the Indiana Jones movie, where if you don't know that person for an extended period of time, you don't know what their investment philosophy is, and if you don't understand how friendly their money is and what they perceive their role or involvement, I would not take someone on. And in fact, I would never take on a first-time equity investor. I would definitely speak with other firms they've invested in the past.
All right, hot or not, what about hiring family members?
Not hot.
Wow, there was no sense of hesitation whatsoever in that. So
did you have to send
one
family member packing or what?
No, I haven't. But I haven't tried to hire them either. Although my son does work for my business, but he's a 17-year-old kid, and I'm teaching in the business, so it's fantastic. But hiring them is actually
any visions of possibly transferring that to a family member like your son?
Oh yeah, that's different. That's different. Hiring or doing business with family is a little bit different than I think you know.
How about a hot or not? Group interviews or one-on-one interviews when you bring on people?
For me, I prefer group.
You do like group interviews, huh?
Group interviews. One, I've hired hundreds of people in my career. The group interview allows you to have a dynamic that is going to be more resembling real life. If someone can perform in front of a group, then that's typically more likely what they're going to face.
You get stage fright, you're out.
That, and not only, it also as an interviewer, it gives you time to digest what they're asking versus trying to keep the conversation going in a flow and maintaining momentum. Being able to think what the answers are being provided with the next logical question while they're either someone else is asking a question or you're responding and thinking gives you time to ask better questions, and it's a better use of everybody's time, in my opinion.
And I'm a one-on-one. Having a second interview, maybe then.
So groups at first, and then maybe one-on-one.
I like one-on-one first. I mean, I want to make sure that the person is going to work with the personality from there. Then a second interview as a group.
Well, this is really cool stuff. Now we're going to come down to our third segment here shortly, right after we hear from our commercial sponsors. Where we talk about Plead the Fifth. Chris Hanks will ask you at least one question that might stump you for the rest of today. I don't even know what it is yet, but I know he's got a good one in there. We'll be right back after a break from our commercial sponsors.
Do you know how much money you need to make work optional? Are you on track to be able to retire, or are you going to run out of money? Take a smart step and go to oxygenfinancial.net to schedule a free, no obligation retirement planning meeting right now. Go to oxygenfinancial.net to start your plan right away. Securities and investment advisory services offered through NFP Advisory Services, LLC, NFPAS, member FINRA, SIPC. Oxygen Financial is not affiliated with NFPAS. NFPAS does not provide tax or legal advice.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. I'm your host, Ted Jenkinson, here with my co-host, Chris Hanks. Every week we bring you this, and you can hear the replays on shrimptankpodcast.com. We have dozens of interviews that are up there now, some fascinating blogs as well, and videos from our post-show wrap-up that you really want to see if you're a new entrepreneur or even if you're an existing entrepreneur. What about learning from the number one real estate agent in the country? Wouldn't that be something good to watch? Learning about a guy that basically came here, had no dollars, and built a business that's well over $10 million in sales. You know, these are the kinds of people that you want to learn with because we all have good ideas. But there's a big difference between having a good idea and being able to execute it and turn it into a business. A big, big difference. So each week, we come to you with our third and final segment, which is called the Plead the Fifth segment. Tammy and David, you know, you got one opportunity today to plead the fifth if you want. You don't have to. We're going to fire away on our lightning round.
Where is your company most vulnerable? Like, if I was going to take you out, start a similar company, what would I do to outperform you?
That's a great question, but I feel like I've really kind of like thought that through, like, who's going to make soups this fiber-rich, more nutrient-dense, more, you know, more potent than this. So where am I most vulnerable? Gee, all right. I guess I have to plead the fifth on that. It's not even a sexy question or anything. Ted,
in the record
it's
books.
Not even a sexy question. That's just
I know,
like, no,
right?
Okay.
So sometimes you kind of, you know, like
I kinda
sometimes
like that you got the plead the fifth.
I got the plead the fifth first question. I think that's the first time, Ted.
These
I'm excited.
Oh these set God. Up well for my less than oh, above no. board questions. That are coming, so. These set up
I know,
nicely.
You got free
nicely.
Way. Yeah, I set you up, Ted. You got
so,
free way.
So my first plead the fifth question here is, so free soup for employees?
Yes.
All right.
Was that was the question?
Yeah. Well, look, oh I mean, God, if I yeah. work for you, like there are places like Google today and other places that serve free food all day round. I'm wondering if I come to work
yes,
for Cafe West Express.
You must be part of the brand.
Am I going to get, you know, free soup? Is it a requirement for me to go through the soup cleanse?
You have to eat it. You have to love it. Yes. You have to slurp it up.
So what has been your most humbling moment as a business owner?
I think just the pride, the humble is like, is just that I'm just so like I said, it grew organically and it's such an organic thing to have people request, you know, something that you're doing that promotes health and really helps communities and people. And I feel like health always brings, you know, a greater state and a greater level of happiness and life satisfaction because we all know how when we're sick, it'll take the fun right out of life. So it's just humbling to see people coming back in and buying it more and feeding it to their friends and feeding it to their families. And
true.
That's humbling.
So to just put a point to that, on our Facebook 2 days ago, there was a post from a woman who had intestinal surgery. She had a partial colostomy done. And she basically said, you know, your soups have saved me. Without them, you know, because I'm too sick to go to the grocery store, I need to have, you know, rich, highly dense, nutritive food. You know, thank God for your soup. So glad I found them. So that stuff makes you feel like, wow, I better get this right.
So is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
Yeah. Isn't that sexy? I mean, come on.
I would say it's a good idea as long as you're not an entrepreneur yourself.
Oh, so a double entrepreneur, no entrepreneur on entrepreneur marriage?
No double E in the house. someone has to have some stability or the kids are going to go to therapy for long periods of time.
Has you found it challenging? You know, when someone marries an entrepreneur, what do they need to be ready for? What kind of challenges do they need to be ready for?
Someone who's ready to go 24/7 and gives it. I mean, you bring it. It's like, bring it.
yeah. That and there's no such thing as a calendar. So yeah. you can have something on your calendar and something else can trump it really fast.
Chris and I heard this concept last week that it's not work-life balance, it's work-life juggle.
Yeah, that's true.
Work-life juggle, right? Which I thought that was a great term, work-life juggle.
Yeah, I refer to it as work-life integration. You need to integrate the two.
So the people who work closest to both of you, what would they say is the biggest thing that you need to work on to be a better leader?
I'm a little soft-spoken.
And that gets in your way? So the people who work for you, that bugs them? They would say, hey, you need to work on that?
I think, you know, from an authoritative, you know, standpoint, as a, you know, a entrepreneur, I think you have to be authoritative. And sometimes I'm a little, I am a little weak there.
Okay. Yeah. So going back to our early comment about strengths and weaknesses, I will run you over if you don't get on board. So I'll give you a chance. And if you don't get on the boat, you should have a life vest on because you'll be off the boat quick.
Well, this is crazy, crazy good stuff. I'm really excited for you. I do think this concept is going to catch a serious wind across the nation. I think the nation's ready for a different kind of cleanse. And I think this would be super awesome. We learned a lot today about how the process works. For folks that actually want to try the soup cleanse and they want to give it a whirl, is it a 1 day, 2 day, 3 day deal? How does it work?
We recommend 4.
4 days.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have to do 4. I mean, if you're like, okay, I'm going to try 1 day and just see what that feels like, no problem. Not really like true rigid rules. Little bit of flexibility is kind of good, but there's a program and a plan. So 1, you could do as a trial, but 2, 3, 4, 5, we recommend 4 right. To really see the benefit to jumpstart.
And the benefit too of it is you need to incorporate this somewhat into a lifestyle. The cleanse is great for that 4 day, 3 day, 5 day, whatever you choose to do, but you need to have the plan on what are you going to do on day 5 after the cleanse is over in terms of, okay, am I going to replace a meal with a soup? And what does that look like down the road? Because, you know, you just don't want to, every time you want to lose 5 pounds, you don't want to jump on a cleanse and yo-yo back and forth.
All right, before we get wrapped up today, we've got some of our young entrepreneurs here from Kennesaw State that were actually in the pitch in the final 10. Congratulations to you guys. And I understand you have a couple of questions for our entrepreneurs, and then I definitely want to know let our audience know today how they can get in touch with you, learn about the soup cleanse. What do you want to ask our entrepreneurs today? We'll let you each have one, and then we'll wrap it up.
What I'm curious about is, what's the one thing that keeps you guys up at night?
Gosh, I sleep very well. I think it's just my, I work really hard. And then when I lay down horizontally, I sleep very well. I have peace. I have a lot of peace that I'm actually doing something I love. I enjoy very, very much. It's a big part of my life. I'm very happy to say I actually have peace.
For me, it's about operations. What are we missing? What happened? Did the refrigerator or freezer unit shut down? Did something get mishandled? You know, we deal with a lot of organic product. So is the price of kale going to shoot through the roof and my COGS going to go uncontrollably crazy? Because we can't, variations in produce, we can't pass along. We have to just eat it within our business model. So things that I can't control worry me to some degree, but, work hard, go to sleep pretty well.
I've been at Whole Foods, guys. I don't know if kale can go up anymore. Jeez, it's pretty expensive there.
Yeah, so you said the product kind of stemmed organically. Did you ever do like a taste test or anything like that with your consumer before you released the product?
Of course, because I gave it away as gifts first, right? But it wasn't like, again, you have to remember, I really wasn't doing it to create a business. I was doing it for my own health and for the health of my family. When my clients would get sick, I would just say, oh, okay, I'm going to make you this chicken wellness soup. Or I'm going to give you this carrot ginger turmeric to calm you down because you're quite stressed out. Or people wanted soup for different reasons. Like people were having different issues in their life. And so I would, I'm like, okay, what kind of soup could I make to take over for the green juice that people are drinking that's not a whole food and doesn't have any fiber? So Green Miracle. Each soup, different purpose. People want something that, especially women, I know you guys really secretly want it too, but people want things that brighten and make their skin glow and make them look radiant. And that's like carrot ginger turmeric does that perfectly. So in just a couple of days of eating it, people notice a difference in their skin and their complexion. Everybody wants a healthy glow.
Hanks, I'm clamoring for a New England clam chowder, but somehow I'm thinking that I probably didn't make the slimming list on here.
Yeah, probably not.
Not too many cream
chowder.
Soups. The chowder.
You can only get it at places like the Union Oyster House,
classic.
In Faneuil Hall, right?
That's
places
classic.
Like that. It's
legal really seafood, stuff. Right?
Well, guys, just tell us quickly a little bit about your business since you're sort of in the shrimp tank pitches that are going on at KSU and what you'll be talking about in this Final 10 group.
Auctioneering is undoubtedly an entertaining business. And when you hear an auctioneer and you hear the cadence that goes along at an auction, people obviously get a lot of entertainment from it. So,
do you guys want to hear the auctioneer?
No.
Let's good. Do it.
All right, Colton, drop it. To you.
All right, we give forward even to buy him 30,000. Even to buy him 30,000. Have it 35. Even to buy him 35. Sold to you right here, 30,000.
That could be the whole show next time. That's awesome. Right?
I want to buy from hearing those couple of words there.
So basically the idea is building a cloud-based free-to-use platform to manage all the data that an auctioneer has to process in a typical sale.
Yeah, I mean, as an auctioneer, I'm an entertainer, but I'm not really concerned about entertainment. I'm more concerned about, you know, the hundreds of data points that an auction company has to process with every asset that they're selling. You know, there's different reserve prices, there's different owners, there's different sellers' prices. Sometimes you have a backup bidder, when, you know, when someone goes out. So there's all these different data points. And one mistake in that can cost an auction company thousands. And then when I went and did my first auction, lost about $5,000 due to data errors. And I was sitting down with Garrett and we were trying to figure it out. You know, do we go out and we buy a big, you know, fancy software? Do we try to go and develop our own? So that's kind of what led us.
Let us down 100. The path.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys this question. And Garrett, you just remember that I don't have control of your grades anymore, so you can be honest. So what has been the most significant moment in your journey from going from KSU Top 100, where we take 100 of the student businesses at Kennesaw State University and we whittle them down to one? You're in the top 10. What has been the most significant part of this journey for you?
I think undoubtedly it's probably, I would say, just the mentorship, the resources, being able to have that help and have that advice from people that are successful and entrepreneurs in the community to help.
And who is your mentor for KSU Top 100? Because I think I forgot. Who would that be?
The great Lee Heisman. So, you know, it's been,
so shameless. It's so shameless. Shameless, it really is.
Yeah.
It's a disgrace.
Well, you know, it's so it's been a joy to have that mentorship and those resources and just see the progress that can be made through kind of being forced to have to do it. I mean, there's deadlines, deliverables that have to be met. You're either forced to do it or you're gone.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting journey.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, it's fascinating because, you know, just another example, software for people who do auctions. You know, who would have thought? And that's the kind of things that you're seeing out of young people. And to me, that just, you know, it's an inspiration to see these kinds of things and to see what folks are working on. It's fascinating.
It's the greatest thing in the world to have and run a business. We're the ones that create the jobs in America. As much as I love big corporate America, they're not the ones that create the jobs. It's the people at this table. It's the people in this city, in this state that start a business that really create the future for more people to get employed. So I wanted to make sure that everyone that's listening today, and we'll do this also in the post-show wrap-up, for people that want to take the soup cleanse or learn more about your business, where can they go to learn more about it?
So go to www.cafewestexpress.com. You can find us on Facebook, and you can also find us on Instagram.
You got a Facebook page and Instagram.
And Facebook and Instagram. We don't tweet.
Very, very cool stuff. Well, next week on the Shrimp Tank, it's spring break. We'll actually be taking a week off. And when we come back, we're going to have the CEO of Triotech, Jim Hall, who will be on with us. We've also got Wes Jones coming in from Honeysuckle Gelato that, cool. If you haven't seen that business, is really, really cool stuff. And I just got to tell you, there's so much cool stuff going on in this city, in this state around entrepreneurship. You want to put this show on your RSS feed, listen to it every single week. Go hear the replays on shrimptankpodcast.com. Thanks so much, Rhody, for cutting our track for us, and we'll look forward to seeing you right after spring break.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.